Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Welcome in to another edition of the Jayhawk Talk Podcast, episode 38. We are here after a couple of basketball games against Iona and Towson. Undefeated Jayhawks. We got a football game too, but you know, whatever. We're not gonna talk about that. Hey, Andrew, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, let's not really talk about the football game. Let's talk about basketball.
Yeah.
But before we do that, Kevin, how was the Hunger Games?
I didn't see the Hunger Games.
Well, you mean you didn't see it like the night of? Like you didn't go to the midnight showing?
No, I haven't seen the movie. I saw the first one. Not the second one.
You didn't. You weren't at the midnight showing. You didn't go Friday? Oh, okay. Well, everyone tweet at Kevin all the Hunger Games spoilers until he goes, because he loves it.
I do?
Loves it.
All right. Well, the Hunger Games was certainly on display on Saturday, and that football game, I don't know if you saw that game. That was like Hunger Games.
Because we were getting murdered out there. Yeah. We were ill-nourished. Yeah. That's a good comparison.
Thanks.
The Iowa State game was the Hunger Games. And we were the ones who were getting killed by the bees. And I don't remember what else happened in that. Getting shot by the arrows.
Right, the arrows.
Eating the poison. We were on the bad side of every one of those
bad
things. And unfortunately, there will be a sequel this Saturday.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit. We'll get to that a little bit later. Let's start off with something a little more refreshing. We're gonna preview the battle for Atlantis. We're gonna talk about Iona and Towson. And I gotta tell you, Andrew, we are gonna have our first ever KU watch party, the Jayhawk Talk watch party, the Florida game. So this is what, December 5th, I think. It is the at Florida game. It should be a really good game. We are going to host a little watch party at Johnny's in the P&L. So you guys should come down and check us out. There will be food specials. There will be drink specials. There's going to be 20% off your food. Anybody who mentions Jayhawk Talk, they're going to have a $50 gift card giveaway there for a Jayhawk Talk person that comes and says Jayhawk Talk. So it'll be fun. I think it'll be a good time. And we have reserved like a big old section. So if you guys want to come down, hang out with us, and watch the game, we'll see you at Johnny's for the Florida game. Let's talk about...
Yes, but I'm going to interrupt you right here.
Please.
You're throwing a party. We're throwing a party. Right. And you don't even get the day right.
Oh.
It's December 10th.
I was close.
No, not really. That's 5 days off. Yeah, if people show up on the 5th, they probably can still have a good time at Johnny's.
Right.
But I'm going to be there on the 10th.
Okay.
And watch the Florida game. But it's at 6 o'clock, so I know it's kind of early in the day. But get off work, get out of school, head up to Johnny's at the P&L, come watch us beat Florida.
Yeah. That'll be a huge game. Florida is a pretty good team when they got all hands on deck. That I was looking at KenPom ratings, where they do a projection. And they actually have Florida projected to win that game against KU on KenPom. So that'll be interesting. Well, let's talk about Iona. This was a few days ago. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it, but it was a good game, 86-66. It was a rough start to the game, but finally kind of came around. I think the story of this game, though, Andrew, is Joel Embiid. This is kind of his breakout, bust-out game. 16 points off 7 of 7 shooting, 13 boards. And his dad was even in the house watching his very first basketball game ever. Thomas Embiid, who looked like, looked like a stud in that suit. That was quite a get up old Thomas had.
He is a colonel in the Cameroon military.
Yeah.
He looked kind of like a UN's weapons inspector to me.
I can buy that.
He was looking very dapper. Mm-hmm. He was looking, my favorite quote from him after the game was, "I was very impressed by the match."
The match, yeah, that was.
And that tugged my heartstrings a little bit.
Mm.
I liked it. I hope he sticks around. And I know we watched the Towson game as well, but
right.
Kind of need him to. I want him to tag along, kind of be our team inspiration for the year.
Yeah, I think he just a stare from him works just as well as like a Dooley stare. If you got like Thomas in the just sitting at the end of the bench, just giving a little stare. I like that idea. Maybe we should keep him around.
I don't know if it's a stare. It's more of a jovial impression I got from him.
Yeah, I know, but
he's a nice but firm.
No nonsense. Maybe a little bit. Yeah, I like him though. I hope he comes back and watches Joel some more because he was awesome in that game. A lot of people started to notice him a little more. The question started creeping up a little more. Hey, when is Joel going to start over Tariq Black? Is that going to happen sooner rather than later? So anyway, I remember tweeting out during that game that enjoy Joel Embiid for this season because he gone. And a lot of people responded and said, no, he's going to be back another season. It's too loaded of a class, and he's not polished enough to go to the pros. What do you think of the prospects of one and done for Joel Embiid?
It's certainly possible. Everyone is talking about him. I mean, Jeff Goodman has his freshman rankings, and I think Jeff Goodman has decided to be just the anti-Kansas contrarian for the year. But he did say that Embiid is the sixth best freshman, on these stupid freshman lists that everybody has to publish to get clicks. But right. Embiid is definitely getting noticed by everyone, including scouts, and it's easy to see why. He looks like an NBA player out there at times. And if he can get all of his game to look like that, he'll be a top five pick. I don't know. Maybe he'll deserve to be picked in the top five. I don't know where he'll exactly go, but he'll be ready. I hope he sticks around, but if he does go, it'll mean we had a good season. So you just got to say, thank you, sir. We enjoyed watching you play and enjoy playing for the Bobcats.
He shot the ball 12 times in the last two games. Guess how many shots he's missed?
One
shot. 4 of 5 in the Towson game and 7 of 7 in the Iona game. To me, that says one thing. He should shoot the ball more.
Well, I mean, one thing about that is that we're not quite to the point with this offense where we're, other than Perry, where we're running the offense through the posts. Well, when Perry's not on the floor. It'll get to the point, I think, where the offense will run through the posts, at least in certain sets, at least when Embiid's out there. When it becomes a focus, a priority, then it's going to be really dangerous.
Yeah, we're going to watch him grow up right in front of our eyes, I think, this season, too. I think just throughout the year, he's just going to get better and better as he gets a little more comfortable in his skin and a little more comfortable in the offense. I'm just really excited about him. I think he is already far exceeded my expectations for his play. And, man, he could be a real wild card come March. In that Iona game, we should probably also mention Perry with a quiet 21 points. And I say quiet because absolutely no one talked about it afterwards in the national media or local media. It was all about, Wiggins and with the dunk and Joel Embiid. But, Perry continues to have a great season, a great start to the season.
Is that what you mean by quiet? Is it the media doesn't talk about it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. Remember we were watching the highlights and they literally didn't show one basket of Perry's. They spent like 2 minutes on the highlights, no basket of Perry's. And then in the recap, where they like actually show the stats of the game, they showed Embiid and then they showed Wiggins. They didn't even show the lead scorer of 21 points. It's just kind of funny.
Okay. Because that word gets thrown out a lot, and I'm not sure what it means. People are like, oh, Perry had. They've described Perry as quiet every time.
Yeah, but he's not a flashy guy.
I don't agree. I'm not saying you have to be flashy. I mean, there's been a lot of flashy players who would never be described as, oh, that's a quiet 25 points. I think he's been a focus of the offense, and not necessarily quiet out there. He's drawing double teams a lot now and becoming a focus. I understand the media thing, but on the floor, I hesitate to say that he is quiet.
He's been
throwing down some dunks. He's been the focus of the offense.
Let's be careful about the dunks. He's not a dunker. He's a layupper.
Well, if you've read CJ Moore's article and listened to what he said on the podcast, he's put 6 inches of vertical on his game, and I think it's definitely noticeable. Yeah. He's getting up higher. He is throwing down dunks, feeling a little more aggressive. Perry is not quiet. I'm gonna ride the whole Perry is not quiet bandwagon for the rest of the season.
I'm with you. I mean, you're preaching to the choir as far as this game goes, but anyway, we'll see if he continues. You know, he was left off the Naismith watch list. Like, that's the kind of shit I'm talking about. Like, really? He's the best freaking player on the team when it comes to just, like, points and production. When at the end of the season, when you look down, you're going to see 16-8 and you're 17-8 from Perry Ellis, and you're going to go, that guy wasn't on the Naismith watch list, with, you know, the highest point scorer and for Kansas? That's what I'm talking about. Just anyway.
You know, he was left off that one, but he made the wooden list, or one of the lists with the top 50. He made one of them. And that he'll be on it when they reevaluate in the middle of the season. But Perry, this whole persona has developed that I don't think is true.
Well, he's a quiet guy.
sure, because you heard. I don't really think he is. I think it took him a while for him to warm up to everything that's going on. He'll be aggressive and loud on the court going forward. You'll see. Mark my words.
Mm-hmm.
Folks.
I'm still waiting to hear a peep from him while on the court. I don't think he's ever talked on the court, but that's okay. He doesn't have to. He's a quiet assassin. Let's talk about the Towson game. This was a nice little, I don't know what you want to call it, but a drubbing, a beatdown, a sloshing. I'm just coming up with the words. I don't think those are real words. 88-58. It was a lot worse than that, really. I mean, it was at halftime. That first half was just an amazing half of basketball. Got out, started running, throwing dunks, throwing lobs. It was pretty cool there for that first half. Where you were in the house, tell us about some of those dunks and the crowd getting into it.
Well, the crowd definitely got into it. I mean, the crowd has been kind of up and down this season, but I think that there's been a lot of ups. Some of the time the tempo gets confused and the crowd just doesn't know when to cheer. It may be because that's the rules, and maybe because it's early. But the crowd was definitely into it. And, you know, when you have a bunch of dunks in a row, especially some thunder dunks from Tariq Black at the beginning there, actually beginnings of both halves, the crowd's going to get crazy. And the crowd really sustained it for really the whole game. It was a great game to be at.
Yeah, I bet. Wiggins added 16-7 off 6 of 8 shooting. Seldon had 12 points in just 16 minutes of play. White came in and had a nice game off the bench, 13 points in 14 minutes. You know, one stat that jumped out to me, Andrew, there were only 17 fouls called on KU. First time we haven't been in the double bonus in both halves. So I don't. Maybe there's a little shift in KU's defense starting to kind of still be able to defend, but not foul. I don't know. Just a thought. Of course, Tariq Black did have 4 of those 17 again. So kind of funny. But I thought Tariq actually looked pretty good. I think that's maybe we should start on the storylines. You know, he did have a little bit of foul trouble, but he showed, you know, at the beginning of the game there that he could bring a lot of energy, especially in the starting lineup. And you know, he could bring something to the table when he's not sitting on the bench with 3 fouls.
And people keep talking about Tariq Black versus Joel Embiid as far as who's starting. I really don't think it matters right now for who's starting. Embiid averages 6 more minutes a game than him, and I only expect that to get wider, even with Black's foul trouble. So, you know, it may be whoever starts the game, but who plays more minutes? Embiid's playing more minutes, and he's going to play a lot going forward. Especially these past 2 games have just been Joel Embiid freak fests. It's been ridiculous.
Yeah, and I think the thing everyone was talking about in this game is not necessarily his offensive production like in the Iona game, but he actually looked pretty good on the defensive end, being a little bit of a rim protector. They credited him with 3 blocks, but I think you and I were counting after the game. It was like, man, it sure felt like he had more than that. But there was a
5-minute span where he was absolutely the dominant player on the floor. He dominated the entire game. and didn't score during that stretch.
Right. It was the outlet passes and the
right. The whole it was both on the offensive and defensive end. He didn't score, but he dominated both ends of the floor for 5 minutes. And then it kind of went away a little bit, but if he can keep that going, this is going to be a scary team.
Yeah, they said after the game that they've been showing him video of Withy on the defense side, so it's kind of interesting. They want him to develop into kind of that rim protector mold. Certainly has the defensive, or I guess the athletic skills to do so. Withy was so good with his timing and being able to just anticipate blocks, but Embiid could sure develop into that. It'll be interesting to see him throughout the season continue to get better on that end. I did want to mention Brandon Green did not play in the Iona game. Some people were kind of questioning, you know, everybody got in that game and, you know, all the bench cleared and everything. But he did not play, and they said after the game that Self said that he had some things to take care of off the court. He did play in the Towson game for a few minutes but looked a little bit lost out there, had a couple turnovers, just didn't look like he had his head in the game. Did you get that same sense?
I did, and people have described it different ways. My brother described it as he doesn't quite buy into the offense yet. He's not looking to make the pass, to make the, you know, to fulfill the Bill Self defense or the fulfill the Bill Self offense of, you know, moving the ball, getting it rotated around. He seems to be wanting to shoot every time he gets it and to dribble awkwardly along the perimeter, which he really doesn't need to be doing. So, I mean, these are things that after watching the Bill Self offense for so long, they just, these things spark out to you. Like, oh, that's not supposed to happen. Oh, that's not supposed to happen. He shouldn't be doing that. And those, all of those things that pop up as red flags is this isn't supposed to happen in the offense are popping up with Brandon Green. Either he doesn't get it, he doesn't buy into it, he's not quite there yet, is what I'm saying. Although he's immensely talented, we've seen him shoot. I think he's just got to become a Kansas player. Moving on.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, every year there's a guy that every KU fan's like, so and so's going to transfer after the season. Andrew White's going to transfer. He's not happy. He's going to leave. And it feels like Brandon Green's that player this year. So. Who knows if it'll actually happen with all the transfers going on in college basketball. Nothing would shock me, but hopefully he'll be back because I think he has a bright future. Do we want to do a little?
I want to talk about that real quick.
Yeah.
You know, for him, I mean, the closest and fastest way to get to the NBA is if he sticks around. And I think that it seems like 50, 60, 70% of the best players Kansas has produced in the past 10 years have said they wanted to transfer at one point. It just seems like it's a recurring theme that you have to go through this little growing pain in order to become a good player. So I wouldn't say it's anything new, and that the best players that they've come out of this program have probably went through the same thing.
Yeah. And the obvious one is Russell Robinson, who said, you know, he was going to transfer. It was not even a question. He was done. He was homesick, and he stuck around and became one of the KU fans' favorite players. Actually, kind of interesting. I wanted to mention this. Someone made the comp the other day of Frank Mason to Russ Robb, which I thought was kind of interesting because, you know, they're different sizes. You know, you always hear Frank Mason is compared to Sharon Collins, but I actually kind of like that comp a little bit because he gets out on the court and, man, he just has like a I am going to beat every single one of you guys in front of me mentality. Like it's not necessarily I'm the best player on this court, but I am the toughest and I do not have any fear whatsoever on both ends, defense and offense. He kind of has a little bit of that Russ Robb in him. I think he's going to maybe develop into that eventually. What do you think of that comp?
I think it's a good comparison. I think that I hope Frank Mason develops into a better defender like Russell Robinson.
Yeah,
because Russell Robinson was a bulldog defender, one of the best perimeter defenders that we had.
Right.
You know, Mario Chalmers won the defensive Big 12 Player of the Year.
He shouldn't.
But everyone in Lawrence and everyone on the team knew that Russell Robinson probably deserved that.
Yeah.
And as far as on the offensive end, Frank Mason looks like he's looking to score more and can score better than Russell Robinson ever could.
It's true. It'll be interesting to see him develop. Man, I'm so excited about Frank Mason. I can't really contain it. It will be interesting to see how many minutes he ends up taking away from Tharp going forward. We've seen them on the floor a lot together, but when push comes to shove and you got to get Seldon in the game, you got to get Wiggins in the game and you run in point, and Frank Mason's been looking pretty good. I don't think he's going to take over a starter role or anything like that this year, but just like Embiid over Black, we might be seeing Mason's minutes continue to rise. And he'll be on the court in crunch time, which obviously he's already done that at the Duke game. What do you say we get into the battle for Atlantis coming up here this Thanksgiving weekend? Do we want to pause and get our correspondent on the line?
Let's run through a couple little news and notes about it, and then we'll get Parker on. Parker is on Twitter. I think he's a lot of people follow him, but his Twitter handle is at @pay_heed. He's pretty funny. He's a
Jayhawk Talk contributor.
Yes, yes.
He's written on the site a few times.
Let's just talk about a few things that, as you probably know, this is a game that takes place in the Bahamas. Mm. And just judging from the name of it, if you win, you get possession of Atlantis.
Yes.
Is that what that means?
I think so. That's what it sounds like.
Battle for Atlantis, like you get to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we get to keep Atlantis, and maybe that'll be a good spring break vacation that Kansas Jayhawk fans can go visit.
Yeah.
Because they get to keep it. So let's hope we win.
Right.
Now this is a weird tournament. It's one of the richest tournaments that you can play in the preseason. Each team gets $2 million just for playing. And it's hosted on, or at least the TV anyways, is done on Axis TV and NBC Sports Network. Now, let's talk about the TV situation, Kevin. It's kind of been the bane of my existence for the past couple of days, because I'm trying to find, I'm not going to be in town. I'm going to be going out of town for Thanksgiving.
Sure.
I'm trying to find a place that has Axis TV. Now, I get it here in Kansas City. I get it, but I'm not sure I get it elsewhere. Is this going to be a problem for you too?
Yes, it is. The tables have turned a little bit. I am a Time Warner customer, and I, of course, had all the games because I'm a Time Warner customer, and the folks on the Dish and DirecTV and AT&T Uverse have all been kind of out in the dark with this Time Warner deal. But the tables have turned. They actually get access, and Time Warner does not. So all those folks that went over to their buddy's house to watch the game, you get to host now your buddy, your Time Warner buddy at your house. So return the favor a little bit. It is kind of interesting.
Pay it forward. Pay it forward,
folks. Right.
We're all a family. We have to help each other out. It's Thanksgiving.
That's right.
And some people are thankful for having access TV.
Yes. And I do not. I am with you. I'm going to have to stream it or find something. I'll figure something out.
The other interesting thing about this is that it doesn't really take place in a basketball arena. It takes place in a hotel ballroom, a large hotel ballroom, but a hotel ballroom nonetheless. The seating capacity is 3,900. It's got very low ceilings, and the whole building and the whole room is illuminated by these weird rows of spotlights.
Yeah.
So when you're watching on TV, it's going to look
weird.
Different.
It's weird.
I don't know if anybody watched last year, but it doesn't look normal.
I think it's really cool though. It looks really strange, but when you get the lights in there and you got, Axis TV there, and you got a pretty good group of schools there, and it's in the Bahamas. Like, I think it's kind of neat that they're doing this, even if it's in a ballroom. And yeah, it will definitely look different. One thing I will be interested to see is how many three-pointers are falling, because the sight lines are going to look real weird for shooters. So good thing we don't shoot very many threes. Doesn't matter for us. But it will be interesting. Do we want to preview some teams, or should we get Parker in?
Let's get Parker on.
All right. So we're going to pause here. We'll be right back with Parker. Peace.
watching the sun bake. All of those tourists covered with oil.
All right, we are back with Parker. You can follow our man Parker at pay_heed. How you doing, Parker?
Doing pretty well, Kevin.
Are you pretty excited about your Thanksgiving trip upcoming?
I am, like, jacked up about my Thanksgiving vacation. My coworkers are probably very tired of me talking about how awesome it's going to be.
You know, I'm going to be going to my in-laws' house for Thanksgiving. And not watching the KU game because we don't have Access TV. Andrew's going to middle of Kansas somewhere to not watch the game because he doesn't get Access TV. And you're going to be sitting on a beach, aren't you?
I will be sitting on the beach. Although, the good news is if we win, our first game, our next and subsequent games, our games will be on NBC Sports Network. So.
Okay, that's true.
Okay, Parker, tell me about like what you're planning on doing. Other than watching basketball, tell the folks at home, make the folks at home jealous about this whole resort getaway.
All right. So, well, my plan is obviously to watch a decent amount of basketball, including maybe do a little advanced scouting on our potential opponents. But I will also be wagering on all of the games, plus Maui Invitational games and all the other preseason tournament games at the Race and Sportsbook at the Hotel Casino. They also have table games, which I'm sure that I'll find myself at some point. And then there's like 20 pools, three beaches. The island itself has two golf courses, one of which is owned by the resort. I don't know that I'll play golf, though. Not a big fan of checking golf clubs because I once lost a set of golf clubs for like 4 weeks because the airline screwed it all up. So I don't know about the golf situation, but I will definitely be spending some time at the pool, at the beach, with probably like an umbrella drink that's not acceptable to drink any other time than when you're at the beach. Oh, and get this. They've got a water park that has a water slide that goes through a shark tank.
What?
Whoa. Yeah. That sounds dangerous. That's dangerous.
Parker, you need to be careful down there in Atlantis. There's a battle going on.
There is a battle going on for a city that has been lost for centuries. I think they made an Indiana Jones movie about it.
Yeah, you might be right. Well, are you excited for the game?
Yes. Well, I'm excited for our games, and I'm just excited because I love to watch basketball. And so obviously
I was just going to say, are there any teams you're looking forward to? Like, how do you think this tournament's going to play out?
Well, I think that I'm excited to watch Villanova, Tennessee, and Iowa. I think that those are the three other best teams, if you will. I was scoping on KenPom to see what's going to help our strength of schedule the most if we, you know, would play out the season the way that I think it's going to play out. If Villanova beats Southern Cal, which I think that they should, sets up a nice semifinal matchup between us and Villanova, whose conference, I don't know which conference they're in. Are they in the Big East or are they in the American?
They're the Big East.
Yeah, that sounds right.
They're the Big East? Okay. So,
always remember it is, do they play football?
Oh, right. That's it. No, they don't. So a nice little game. Got some bad memories of Villanova games. Maybe we could erase those, although we did beat them in 08. And then I think that our hopeful game for the championship, should we make it that far, which we should, would be the Iowa Hawkeyes. They play in probably second or third best conference in the country in the Big Ten. And I think that they'll probably be able to beat Xavier in Tennessee, and we'll square off against them at 9:30 on Saturday night on the NBC Sports Network. And I'll be there, and you'll be watching on the NBC Sports Network.
Fantastic. Are there any?
And I'll probably be sunburnt as all hell by then.
Well, you know, after the long battle that you're going to be enduring, that's understandable. You should make sure you take a break during the battle and, you know, take some you time.
I think that there'll be plenty of time for some me time at the beach. Right. I didn't know if I mentioned that I'm going to be at the beach.
Yeah,
well,
thanks.
Parker, are you going to be taking pictures, keeping everybody posted on your trip?
Yes, I've got my phone, and I'm going to take my camera and my tablet, so I'll be snapping some photos and putting up the twit pics, as the kids say, on that Twitter. Mm-hmm. I'm going to twit it at.
Right.
And you can follow me on the Twitter at pay_heed, and I'll make you very jealous of my vacation.
Well, we will certainly be contacting you to get a full report of the battle, since you will be on the front lines there at Atlantis.
Well, I'll be directing the troops. Let's be honest. I'll be back there with William directing the troops.
Good. That's what we like to hear.
I will be on the front lines.
That's fair. That's fair. Well, be safe.
I will let Joel Embiid be on the front lines, because he kills lions.
That's a good point. That is a good point.
He can probably kill a Villanova Wildcat, a Wake Forest Demon Deacon, and a Hawkeye, because why not?
All right. I'm with you there. I think it's a good plan. Hey, thanks for coming on, Parker. We will certainly check back with you during the Battle for Atlantis to get a full update. Thank you for being the Jayhawk Talk correspondent, of course, for this fine trip.
Absolutely.
Have a
well,
good
thanks
time.
Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. We will catch you afterwards. We'll get you back on to get a full report.
Okay, sounds good. Take care, guys, and happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you. We'll talk to you later, Parker.
All right.
Bye.
I got my toes in the water, ass in the sand, not a worry in the world, a cold beer in my hand, life is good today.
All right, we are back. Thanks again to Parker for joining us at pay_heed. Catch in with him and see how he's doing down there in Atlantis. Let's talk a little bit about these teams we're going to see, Andrew. I'm going to turn it over to you. What do we expect from this Wake Forest team?
Okay, so Wake Forest, if you go on Twitter, which I kind of hate to tell people, go on Twitter. There's a lot of people, a lot of Wake Forest fans saying, oh, Kansas upset coming.
What?
And the reason why they say that is they are 5-0.
Uh-oh.
Right. But they haven't played anybody.
Well, they played Colgate.
Right. They're 94th in KenPom, which we've been talking a lot about KenPom. If you don't go to KenPom.com and you're a college basketball fan, you're a little behind the ball. So I'm sure most people who listen to this are familiar with KenPom. But if you're not, familiarize yourself with it, because it is a handy-dandy tool. But anyway, they have wins against Colgate, Virginia Military Institute, Presbyterian, Jacksonville, and the Citadel. Yeah, I didn't know that those schools had basketball teams either. So that 5-0 is a little misleading. But they are coached by Jeff Bezdelic, who we are familiar with because we beat him millions of times when he was the coach at the University of Colorado. So yes. Millions, literally millions. So he's familiar with Kansas. We're familiar with him. One of the weaker teams in the tournament, but not necessarily a team that we should overlook. But them and UTEP, I think, are one of the two weaker teams, maybe USC. But if we do win or if we lose, I mean, the two teams that we could play in the second round would be Villanova, as Parker said, or USC. It's probably going to be Villanova. Villanova this year is definitely a tournament team. They'll probably be at some point in the season a top 25 team. Right now they're KenPom ranked 22. They blew out Towson like we did, and that's their best win. According to Joe Lenardi's latest bracketology, which means nothing at this time of year, but maybe it just gives you the idea of what type of team they are. They're a 9 seed. I think by the end of the season, they may be a little bit better than that. But that's the type of – so imagine it as a second-round NCAA tournament game, which are always dangerous. And then the other team we could play is USC, coached by Andy Enfield, former leader of Dunk City down there on the Gulf Coast. He parlayed that into a big Pac-12 job. That team's not very good yet, but Andy Enfield's got some swagger. Let me tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to give us a little rundown of the bottom half of that bracket?
Yeah, so we got, you know, you mentioned UTEP is probably not a school that's going to really make too many waves down there in the island. But You know, they're okay. I don't expect them to win. Iowa is, as Parker mentioned, is by far the best team to me on this side of the bracket. KenPom has them ranked number 13, which is a pretty high ranking. They're actually ranked in the 20s somewhere in AP, I think. They're 5-0, but similar to Wake Forest, hasn't really played anybody yet. They're actually beating teams so far on the season by an average of 37 points. So that shows you a little bit there. But, you know, they're a good team. They were a great team last year. They just could not close out games. They should have won a lot more games and really looked pretty good. Should have been a tournament team and came back, returned everybody, and looking really good. So that should be a good test. I really do hope we play them in the finals because that will be the best matchup. We mentioned Xavier. We mentioned Xavier.
That was legit too. That was a legit slip up.
I did not do it. Yeah, that was not. We've done it so many times now that it just says Xavier. So we might play Xavier, but it's doubtful. Although KenPom has them ranked 32, and that's pretty good. And they're actually, their best win is against Tennessee, who's the last team in this bracket. They have a pretty good team, actually. Bracketology, early bracketology has them as an 8 seed. They lost, like I mentioned, to Xavier. So it will be an interesting side of the bracket. If I were him, he mentioned he's going to do some advanced scouting. I personally would be on the beach, but if he does, there will be some pretty good games on that side of the bracket.
Yeah, I agree with you. I like watching college basketball, and I like watching competitive college basketball, but I think there are a couple other things I'd rather be doing than watching Xavier versus Iowa.
Yeah. Well, it should be fun. It should be a great tournament for the kids, too, for KU players. It's a great recruiting tool. Saying, hey, you should come here. We're going to go down to the Bahamas. Next year, we're going to Maui. It's pretty cool that they get to do that. And there should be a great KU contingent there. Hopefully, everyone gets to see it on TV. You'll enjoy watching it in a ballroom. But it's a cool event. And hopefully, KU can come out of there with 3 wins and keep this thing rolling in the non-con. Andrew, do you have anything else to say about that?
I'm trying to delay this as much as possible so we don't have to talk about football. I'll just close by saying this is going to be a great weekend to eat turkey, enjoy your family, and watch KU basketball. It's going to be a great – enjoy your holiday. Be thankful for dunks.
Mm.
Be thankful for half-court shots. And be thankful for your family, I guess.
Yeah, there's something else, though, that's going on this weekend on Saturday. It's a football game. Andrew, I know that we have been kind of avoiding this one, but I guess let's start with Iowa State. That game happened. It was 34-0 against a previously 1-9 Iowa State team in a frozen tundra in Ames, Iowa. And I don't have a whole lot to say about this game other than after the game, it's probably the most frustrated I've ever been as a KU football fan with just where I'm at with this team, where I'm at with the coaching staff and just expectations wise. What about you?
I'm going to say that it's not one of the most frustrating times for me because I completely shut it out, which is probably worse than being frustrated.
Yeah.
Like I just completely tuned it out. And I'd like to think of this KU fans watching this game on TV, because I can't imagine a lot of them went up to Ames and watched it.
Bless you if you did, by the way.
But I can't imagine that even a percent of them went and did that. Most of them were watching it on TV. And I'll be honest with you. I do this podcast, Keep Up With KU. I couldn't finish the game. I couldn't get through it. There's a lot of other stuff to do. The Sporting Kansas City game was on. It was a big game for a lot of people. A lot of people tuned over to watch that. A lot of people tuned over to watch Storage Wars, which
Monster
was a lot.
Trucks.
Right. Storage Wars was a lot more interesting than what was going on up there in Ames. And I think that that's kind of a microcosm for KU football fandom now and going into next year, is that with this team being so bad, not only are they not going to want to watch them on TV, they're not going to want to buy tickets anymore.
Yeah, it's
like, there's other. I'm going to go. It's a social event for me. We like to go, but it's going to be hard for a lot of people to bust out that checkbook and,
it's brutal.
And go next year.
You know, I actually, funny you mentioned that. I got a call today from the KU Athletics ticket office and Williams Fund folks saying, hey, you know, I just saw that you're a KU football season ticket holder, and some of you guys out there might have got this call today or this week too. Just want to see how your game day experience has been this year. And I feel so bad for this kid that has to pick up the phone and call KU season ticket holders. How's your game day experience been so far? Well, it's been pretty shitty because the product on the field is awful.
Did you tell him that?
No, but I'm sure a lot of people have. I just told him that, the games are fine. I'd like to see a remodel of the stadium, and I would like to see more blue than purple this weekend, but I don't think it's going to happen. And he just kind of, yeah, well, I think we all kind of want to see that. And he was it was a rough position for the guy to be in, called ticket holders. I was probably one of the nice ones compared to some of them, but yeah, it's brutal, man. It's brutal. Just like you said, people are tuning out. I mean, people are not renewing tickets next year. You look on message boards and people are mad, or worse, people just don't care. Kind of like you were mentioning, it's better to be mad than just completely just tune them out. I mean, that's what I'm afraid is going to happen even more unless we can show something. You know, I'm not expecting KU to win this game this weekend against K-State, but man, at least just try to put something competitive out there. That game against Iowa State was so disheartening. I mean, that team is terrible. Iowa State is awful. Don't let anyone say any different. They are not good at football, and they just obliterated us. And that's why it's just so frustrating. And I know you can make excuses about the field, and you can make excuses about injuries or whatever else you want to make excuses about, but we quit. We got outplayed. We got outcoached, and we got out everything in that game. It's just so frustrating. And the good news is, Andrew, we are bowl eligible, just like you and I mentioned. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. You didn't know
Explain.
This?
Explain.
Okay, no. So this last game, you know, some people are having bowls like in January and stuff. December bowl games. We don't need those. We have our own bowl game. It's called the Sunflower Bowl, and it's this Saturday. We are bowl eligible, and we will be playing against kind of crazy, actually. You know, we're actually playing an in-state team in Kansas State. Just kind of weird how it worked out that way. But yeah, this is our bowl game, Sunflower Bowl. I don't know what you know how teams like get swag, like you get like Beats by Dre and you know whatever, a gift card for going to bowl games. What do you think? What do you think the Sunflower Bowl committee is putting together for the players?
Some new shoes.
Okay.
With better cleats.
Okay. That's good.
We need those. Like that's one of those, you know how you get like a new pair of jeans for Christmas? Like you need those.
Yeah, it's no like, fun. Oh, I'm you glad I got toy. Those.
We need the cleats. We don't need the toy. We need the cleats because obviously last week we could not stand up and because we've shown such a, had a skill for ice skating, we're going to get some new ice skates in our little swag bag.
That's good.
You know, because maybe we can just quit this whole football thing and do competitive ice skating full time. That seems to be our thing.
I would like to see. I think they're getting tickets to the Natural History Museum. they get tickets to that. That's good. Yeah. And, I'm sure there's a lot of really good stuff in those swag baskets they're going to get for the Sunflower Bowl. But anyway, let's talk about the game, I guess. As I mentioned, is there going to be more blue or purple in the stands? What's your prediction?
I think there's going to be more blue, okay. But there's going to be a lot of purple.
It's going to be close. I'm with you, but I think it will be close. And I just hope that we're not hearing purple people yelling the whole game, unfortunately. Not feeling great about it. I guess a football talking point, since we've really avoided the football part for pretty much this whole segment. There's a question now, Andrew, of whether Heaps or Cozart will be playing in this game. You know, we saw after the West Virginia game that we went 100% all in with Cozart. He went up to Ames and just got killed. Interesting that Heaps came in and actually looked pretty sharp. Of course, the receivers didn't do him any favors, but it'll be interesting to see. Who do you think's going to start this game and play the majority of this game, Heaps or Cozart?
I think Cozart, but I have nothing to base that off of. He's the only one really this season who's shown an ability to do something incredibly positive. You know, last game aside, I guess I'm willing to write off last game as we didn't have the right cleats game. I shouldn't write it off like that, but I guess I'm going to. So I still think Cozart gets the nod. What about you? You gonna make a change again? Switch back? No.
No, you know, I think that Heaps might bring a little more to the table, but in this game, after seeing how bad K-State was against the run in their last game, I mean, they just got obliterated on the ground and against Oklahoma. And I mean, OU's line is a lot better than ours. But, you know, our skill guys, at least in the running backs department, are comparable. And I think we could probably do some things on the ground, which means I think we'll do a lot of zone read with Cozart. And I don't know, though. It will be interesting. Heaps may come in. He might have come in as a change of pace. Of course, kind of interesting on K-State side of the ball. We might see the same thing. They got their two quarterbacks that have played back and forth this season, so it might be a little chess game between Snyder and Weiss, which I don't know which side of that coin I would rather have, but not feeling great about this game. We will see what happens. I do think that we will lose. I don't feel great, but hopefully we can pull something out, something crazy in the Sunflower Bowl. The Sunflower Bowl champions, we can get a trophy.
What percent chance do you give us to win?
10.
10%.
Yeah. What about you?
I'm going to go 11%.
Okay. I like it. You're such an optimist. That's what I like about you.
That's the difference between me and you. 1% of optimism. All right. Most of you probably tuned out because you didn't want to hear about football. But if you did, if you're still here, it's your lucky day.
Hmm.
Because now we've gotten to the part where we're going to talk about the Johnny's gift card giveaway. And the idea for this one is tweet to @JayhawkTalk your favorite non-conference KU basketball game. Hey, whatever you want. Maybe in the last 10 years, last 11 years, Bill Self era, or just generally. Your favorite non-conference basketball game and why. Mm. And the best why will get the Johnny's gift card. Yeah, but Kevin, what is your favorite non-conference?
Gosh.
And anything pop into your head?
That's tough, man. You know, the one that I'll remember probably forever was the UCLA game. I was a kid. I was like, I don't know, 10 years old. But we were down like 19 and a half and came back and won that game. Just a furious second half rally. That was a fun game. One that I'll kind of always remember is a kid with my dad at the game, kind of a memory. But man, there's been so many good ones. Michigan State and Kentucky and Georgia Tech game. And I don't know, what's your favorite?
Well, the Georgia Tech one, surprisingly you said that. I mean, that's the year after we lost to them in the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
What I like to call the Jarrett Jack revenge game.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke Schencher. This Ohio State game a couple of years ago was pretty memorable. Kentucky, where we shut down Rondo, was pretty memorable. I mean, there's a lot going back. So, I mean, there's going to be some games coming up. We've got Georgetown coming up. We've got got the Battle for Atlantis coming up. There's going to be a lot of opportunities for new memories, Kevin. So tweet @JayhawkTalk your favorite non-conference game or whenever you want. And why. The best reason why we'll get the $30 gift card from Johnny's Tavern.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anything else we want to hit on before we get out of here?
It's time to be thankful for basketball season being in full swing.
I like that.
And that's it.
All right. Well, that's something to be thankful for. Andrew, I'm thankful for you.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, that's.
Was I supposed to say I'm thankful for you too?
No, No, I didn't expect you to. That's, see, that's what makes you and I different. You're the optimist, and I'm much nicer than you are. All right. Well, let's get out of here.
I'll take it.
All right. Fair enough. We appreciate you guys listening. Please continue to subscribe. Tell some friends about the podcast. Download it. Leave us a comment on iTunes and give us a rating. That, again, helps us a ton to get the podcast out there to new listeners. Support our friends at Johnny's. Remember, we will see you at the Florida Watch Party, KU Florida Watch Party, on December 10th, according to Andrew. So you can come out there on the 5th and see me. The 10th will be the party. So come on out. There'll be drink specials and food specials, and hang out with us and watch the game. It'll be a lot of fun. So we will catch you next time. We'll have a podcast coming to you soon. And Rock Jock. Every time we on the court, I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans. Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, this baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.